financial data. Again, it has to do with lot of to do with the finance. Yani. So along with when the marketing and sales activities are happening, in the back end, the costs are getting incurred. There is a financial data reveals to you aspects like impact on profitability, impact on margin, which is a profitable line of business, what is a not profitable line of business, which is a profitable channel of distribution, which is a not profitable channel of distribution. So all this is a financial data that is also a secondary data can help you, based on which even you can forecast the likely profitability in future and, you know, expect, etc. Then comes the transport data. Transport data is a movement, factory to warehouse to CNF agent to retailer. All these things will reveal you a lot about the movement of the goods. Some region may be buying in bulk and then sitting for long. Some region may be buying regularly. So all those aspects will come out with the use of transport data, the cost of transportation, etc. Cost per ton, per kilometer. And so many things can be revealed by transport data. Storage data. That is entire your inventory management to like replenishment cycles and the FIFO, LIFO method that you use, etc. and its impact, etc. So all this is a storage data that is also available. External data are available in plenty. They are outside you. They are published by individuals, bodies, associations, organizations, government. So it is a government data, state, local. Non-government, that is state association, printers association, steel manufacturer association, automobile manufacturer association, automobile component manufacturer association, they all publish. So that's a non-government data. Commercial services, syndicated data that is available. So it's like Dun & Bradstreet, or if you know CMIE, etc. So they all publish what you call a syndicated data. And that's a paid service that you subscribe to get the desired data. National and international institutions like our Statistical Organization of India, National Statistical Organization of India, or World Bank, or, you know, IMF, they all publish a lot of data, and that if you capture, it gives you that. Publish various other published sources, individuals. Today now the blogs are there and many other things. So that's all published individual data, electronic medium through which also external data are captured. Yeah, there are many electronic mediums that generates data, opinion, views, etc. So these are the external data sources. Sources can be classified as paper-based or electronic. It's a self-explanatory. Everything printed is a paper-based. Everything available to you on a net or a digital format is a non-paper-based electronic sources. I've covered international institutions, banks, like banks, universities. A lot of research paper get published by professors and, you know, universities, etc. Journals of marketing, journals of sales, etc. They draw data. Internationals are like WTO, UNICEF, UNO. They various government, international bodies, IMF, they publish data. So that's what makes the international institutions. Significance of the secondary data. So having touched various sources, let's understand the significance. Following needs to be answered, yani. Why you are doing this secondary data? Where is the data come from, yani? So all secondary data are not relevant and, you know, dependable. So you need to know, okay, where this data has come from. Does it cover the geographical diversity? Is the data current, yani? Many times the report you come around even on the net, etc., without knowing how old the data is. So you may tend to make a mistake of using a very old inference for your existing exploration. So that's one need to be careful about. Combining the data from one source with other should also be same on the all level. Now you get different sources of data talking about the market of the same product, but if they all are at a different level than time frame, then again it's an issue. So it has to be at one par at least on some area like time frame or unit, etc., or a category of consumers being spoken about and all. Similarity comparing the data should also be done the same level, yani. So data origin, its link with your current exploration need, etc., should match, yani. There has to be a, if that is not there, then the data loses the relevance part of it, yani. We earlier studied repetition of the data must be examined carefully. Data hopefully is not getting repeated either under the different time perspective or like that, so one need to be careful about. So these are the things which comes under secondary data. popular methods of data collection and the primary. This is the essence or the significance of this particular chapter. How primary data, that is a decision making data that you are going to handle, that is what is getting covered here. There are methods like quanti-quali and survey. I've been always talking about quanti-quali, but quanti-quali and survey, there's another level to it. That is a way that primary data can be collected. Quantitative data, data collection can be broadly classified as observational, experimental, and survey. We have understood this part. Observation methodology, are this method primarily relies upon physical observation of one or more phenomena under research. We have discussed briefly earlier. So it's an observation of the prospects or customers' behavior. Observation can be in a monitored environment, can be on a free environment, can be on a natural environment, etc. So that's the observation method. Circumnavigation the observation method is useful when no other method can provide relevant information. You have no option but to observe customers and determine when there is a serious doubt about the accuracy of the data collected using other methods, or when there is a necessity of high degree of accuracy. You need very accurate understanding about consumer behavior or consumer way of purchasing, etc. Then you get into observation method. Practical utility when this is it's like, one is it is happening in the natural environment, second is respondent or the people are in their natural buying mode, kind of thing. They have already executed their buying decision and then they are answering you the question, so that reliability of answers given to you is also high. So there are various aspects that makes this method a useful method. There are limitations as a result why it is not too many times it is used. The limitation is the observer's bias. Now, what is the bias that observer is carrying in his mind, which is not allowing him to read the way he should read, or he is reading what he wants to convey? So the other way, like he feels iski to market hai and he's made his mind, and then he reads that way his inference, then there is a problem. And observer biases come in, or he's not able to understand how to read that behavior of him. So he puts in his assumption and declares it as a cause of it, etc. And that leads to the bias coming in. What to observe, that's another limitation. And when the consumer is actually in an area of laboratory, or when he's into under observation, he knows that he's under observation, etc. Or for determining the cause and effect, one need to really know what to observe, because consumers will lot other things. So what to ignore, what to observe, and what to analyze should be very clear. Otherwise, there is a issue. Observation methods are structured versus unstructured, disguised versus undisguised, direct versus indirect, human versus mechanical. So we'll quickly touch base on those points. Structured versus unstructured. So structured observation methodology is applied when the research problem is properly formulated. You have a specifically told need to be observed, and a consumer is told why he is being observed, and he is from subjective bias. Consumer is allowed to behave the way he naturally behaves. Unstructured observation is like free to observe whatever they think relevant and significant. There may be subject bias, it's like you allow whatever that is happening, and then you allow things to happen without any conditioning, without any limitations, etc. So that's an unstructured way of doing the observation method. In the structured method, consumer is aware, he has been told that this is that variable that has been impacted, and now he has been asked to go and buy the product, etc. So that's the difference. And it comes the disguised and undisguised. In the disguised observation, subject is not knowing that he has been observed. So this brings out the natural behavior. You have tools like video camera or eye tracker, etc. That helps you with this disguised observation. Undisguised observation, where the questioner, the guy himself, becomes a observer. He observes the consumers. It is undisguised. He also tells the consumer that he is observing him, and he wants a consumer to operate most naturally. So that's an undisguised. Consumer knows that he is under observation. if not individual consumer is told that there is a camera which is observing him and his behavior will be analyzed, etc. So that's an undisguised way of doing the observation method. Direct versus indirect. In direct method, event or the behavior of an individual is observed actually as it occurs. So when that is happening, it is observed. In the indirect, the past records are observed. So filmed are various tools and these things are installed, and then somebody observes later when this data is furnished to him. In a direct method, observation is at that particular point of time itself, when it is naturally happening. This really calls for a very trained observer, less of bias, more of subject matter expertise, etc. So that's a direct versus indirect, human versus mechanical. Person doing your observation, either in a disguised or an undisguised manner, vis-a-vis tools doing your observation. So a barcoder or eye tracker or video cameras or footfall analyzers, etc. All those various other such tools are available that helps you. So that's a mechanical way of doing this thing. Audiometer, eye camera, there are many things. Eye cameras are generally given where consumer is aware that he is under observation. He has been told to be natural, but there is a camera that has been affixed, and he goes. So you come to know what is he looking, why is he looking, what is he ignoring, why is he. Those are the ways that the tool or mechanization helps you in the observation method, which is not possible for the human. Experimental method. So now we have moved away from observation method to experimental method. Experimental methodology, this method is used as a fundamental technique for scientific research. Experiment, as they say, you experiment certain things. So experiments are condition experiment, unconditional experiment, in laboratory, outside laboratory. So these are certain variables within that, which is briefly explained as such. But what you need to know is that there is an experiment method is one of the method for the primary data collection. Survey method. So there's a survey is a third. A very popular method, universally used, people want to immediately conduct a survey. Survey methodology is decided and survey is launched, and it is easy to launch. That's the one important advantage of a survey method vis-a-vis other methods, what we have earlier discussed. Okay, survey, again, methods are three: postal, telephonic and personal. Stages are involved are more or less similar to the research process: problem definition, objective of the survey, planning, that is the research design, timing of the interventions, etc., actual data collection, analysis and preparation and submission of the report. So that's the steps that is involved. Various tools of primary data, which is quantitative or qualitative or quantitative. So primary data that we generate out of using those surveys and various other approaches, you have either qualitative data or you have a quantitative data. Questionnaire. The question is a popular means, and it can be posted, mailed, or can be discussed in person. Can cover large number of people, organizations. In-depth discussion can happen, or focused answering can happen. Whatever that you want out of this thing, it can cover geographical area largely. Language translated questionnaires, etc., are possible. So there is no geographical limitation to questionnaire approach. Relatively cheap, no prior this thing is needed agreement, embarrassment on the part of the respondents. There are various ways you allow start direct answer or avoid personal questions, etc. Respondents can consider anonymity is also possible, because the data is with the research agency, data is not with the client, and that's what they assure. No interviewer bias, so respondent is free to answer at his convenience and all. So that's the advantage of questionnaire. Design is disadvantages are designing a questionnaire is a complex and challenging task, as I told you, right from statistical inferences, the nature of analysis, univariate, bivariate, multivariate. So average, mean, mode, standard deviation, what is going to determine the validity of the data and the result, etc. All those things affects the way you ask and frame the question, and overall logically how you align each question to dig the information. So that's a challenging task. Generally, response rates are lower, especially if it is not in personal in nature. All other telephonic and mail survey generate lower response rate. Of course, it has to have a return deadline, without which you stand not to get the required number in time. And assume no literacy problems, that's a problem in itself. Several reminders may be required, you will have to keep reminding. So these are some of the limitations. I don't think so that you need a detailed understanding one by one. Replies are not spontaneous. He will fill up in with mood. I don't know. He may post you the incomplete questionnaire. So it's all meaningless. Okay. There are guidelines that has been discussed about what should be the good questionnaire. So as they say, okay, by short, simple, logical, don't use ambiguous words or unfamiliar end words, etc. Don't ask hypothetical question. Don't ask unwarranted questions. Like many times when you go for a research, the client says, okay, yes, ko ye bhi pooch lo, wo bhi pooch lo, vagera. All those things should be avoided. Too much personal question also should be avoided, etc. Smart question framing is needed. So today, if you notice, nobody likes to answer family income or personal income, etc. So researchers have evolved a grouping, less than 5 lakh, 5 to 10 lakh, 10 to 20 lakhs, and they make a meaning out of it. Okay, he's a high income guy, he's a middle income guy, he's a low income guy. So that's what they want to know. Nobody is actually keen to know your income is 4,67,500 rupees. No. It is like they want to derive out of your income whether you are a low income member, mid income member, high income member, etc. So they have come their way out and done a questionnaire forming that way. Types of questions, open ended and close ended. We have discussed this even before. What are the essential skills of a manager? It's like an open ended question. Anybody can answer anything. Closed-ended question, have you ever been to foreign country? Yes, no. There can be only two answers. And that is a very fixed answer. That's a closed-ended question. Or you have been asked to give your satisfaction level, 1 to 5. Closed-ended question. Okay. Then comes the questionnaire testing and the pilot. So you first test the question, then also the testing of a pilot. So you do with some lower number of samples. And you try and see that analysis that you try to cover is also applicable. Finding and the objective linking is possible. So you do a pilot survey. So all this comes under that. You get the questionnaire back. You get into analysis of it, etc. Interviews is another approach of a primary data collection. Interview has its own advantage, like spontaneous, able to get clarifications and a good response rates are guaranteed in interviews, etc. Complete and immediate, one-to-one, this thing. So these are the advantage of a interview, in-depth questioning, open-ended questioning, also is possible. It is controllable, response are verifiable. These are some of the advantages. Motives and feelings can be understood by the interviewee who's doing this. Recording is possible, so that is added advantage. You can use props, and in an interview you can carry certain props and that will facilitate a better and right answer. You can do the pilots and similar thing that you can otherwise, so that helps you to construct your interview approach well. There are numerous disadvantage, need to be set up, repeated calling, repeated setup needs, etc. Time consuming, geographical limitations, and how far you will go to collect data or an interview. Therefore, it is an expensive, respondent bias may come in. He will feel that you have come all the way wrong, to understand whether I buy your product or not. He may get into bias to answer you in such a way that you get an impression that he has a fond for your kind of a product. While he may not be actually that intensively buying or using it. How you transcript or how you explain your question, that's also important. So the interview skill and ability is also there. If they are not trained, they may skip information, which is an important information. If they are not trained and not aware of why the importance of this particular question, if the respondent intends to skip, they will skip, and then you will realize that you don't have sufficient information to analyze to arrive at a conclusive inference. Interviews can be structured, semi-structured, unstructured, as the name suggests, and structured questions are very well structured. They are logically aligned, questions are linked to each other, they flow in a very logical manner, their answers are open, close-ended is also well decided, they are linked to the analysis methods and all. semi-structured is certain thing is aligned, certain things are opened as a checklist, etc. Use of open and close-ended both are practiced. Unstructured is like it is open, and it is more a checklist form. And here the interviewer will just ask this and let the respondent answer, etc. The unstructured format also has its own advantage because it will allow the free flow of information, but you require large coverage to arrive at certain common inference. There are interview guidelines that has been given to keep the information to the point, explain point properly, be polite to seek the information, the areas a friend or colleague, and you should not use your friendship or a colleague for that. And it means you can try them, but you cannot use them as a respondent. Schedule of interviews and those things are some of the things that you should be careful about. Do not interfere in the personal time and those things. So we come at a stage where we want to understand types of interviews, personal, postal and telephonic. This, of course, being a point, I purposely kept it as a bullet point. I'm sure like you all will be able to understand these aspects. They are present in the book as well. They are available in summaries and, this thing. It's primarily what you need to know is through what is this, what are the advantages and what are the limitations of personal interview or postal interview or telephonic interview. So we will quickly now understand the steps in data collection primary. Later on as we move forward, you will cover few aspects little more in detail. But essentially there are four critical steps in any primary data collection, which is questionnaire design, the pre-collection, that is you pilot, you check secondary information and various things. Data collection, actual data collection, implementing your research process, and you actually collect the data and present the findings. So data, enter the data collection to analysis and inferences, that's a stage, and then present the finding. And so questionnaire design, we have understood various aspects of questionnaire. So we have discussed what is open-ended, closed-ended, types of questionnaire, where can be used, and interview technique, and those things we have discussed. Limitations of questionnaire, what is good questionnaire. So that's why I'm not say like purposely repeating. Pre-collection has a lot of data to be collected, secondary data and various other aspects, geographical market, the availability of people where. So various things has to be there before you really go to market and initiate your research process. That's when you initiate research process, your data is collected. Whatever may be your research technique, whether it is a focus group discussion, in-depth interview, or postal information, or telephonic call, whatever. But the data collection happens, then you have to tabulate, collate, and analyze. And then last is the, after analysis, you present the findings to your the person who sought the primary data research from you. So that's the four critical steps of doing a primary research. As we go forward, we are covering them little more in detail. Thank you.